All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined today by my co-host, John Kegley. We go way back, pretty much best friends, but not really. We both write for San Diego Sports Domination, one of San Diego's biggest sports blogs, and we started following the Chargers as children, obviously, as lifelong fans, but started covering them over the last 3 years, including making our own Facebook Live show, which is called Chargers Domination Live, and had, you know, over 100,000 views in its last season for the 2017 season, which led us to do the Locked On Chargers podcast, to do an everyday type of podcast where we can, you know, get our thoughts out on a daily basis, which, if you know me or John, we always have thoughts, so we need somewhere to vent them out. That's what you guys are for. But, John, today we're going to continue talking about the Chargers preseason game against the Cardinals, which they lost 24-17. But there were some bright spots. There was a couple guys that we were looking at that we saw some good things from. There was a couple guys we were looking at that we didn't see good things from. I'm looking at you, Caleb Sturgis. Anyways, so speaking of Caleb Sturgis, we're going to start the show today by talking about special teams. Obviously, there's a kicker battle now that I didn't really want to happen, but is a thing. And there's also Artavis Scott and what he was able to do on special teams, and also some of the bad things the Chargers had going for them special teams-wise. Then we'll get into the defense. First, we'll talk about the Chargers front seven. There's a couple interesting position battles going on there. And then we're going to talk about the secondary, talk about Derwin James's first game as a Charger, talk about Uchenna Nwosu's first game as a Charger. He was everywhere, I'll just tell you that part right now. And some of the other guys that we saw on the defensive side of the ball.
I feel like I watched an episode of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, well, that's the way it ended. I mean, Nick Szymanek scrambling, getting stuffed at the 1 yard line. It was a pretty storybook ending. I would have loved to see what the Chargers could have done on a 2-point conversion. That's what me and you were talking about. See what, because they definitely would have went for two. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But hey, we're here to talk about special teams, everybody's favorite subject, the thing people are clamoring for us to talk about every time we get off the mics. Special teams, John. It's what brings people to the ball games. It's what gets fans in the seats, and that's what we're here to talk about in our first segment. So, you can't talk about special teams and Chargers without talking about awful kicking. And we had some of that in this game, John. Obviously, the Chargers signed Caleb Sturgis to a 2-year, $4-point-something million contract, looking as if they were basically just handing him the keys and letting him drive off as a starter. But I don't know if that's so easy now, John, after he went 1 of 2. Missed a 41-yard field goal, made a 45-yard field goal that didn't look great but got the job done. And Roberto Aguayo, of course, was kicking the extra points and kicked flawless, perfect, beautiful end-over-end kicks that just make me want to pull my hair out.
Roberto Aguayo's extra point kicks looked pretty beautiful. They looked pretty nice. Caleb Sturgis' field goals, not so much. We had a 45-yard kick that looked wobbly, and then his next kick completely left. I mean, I'm not even going to call it wide left. It just goes completely left. I don't know which field goal post he was looking at, but it went completely left. I'm kind of worried now. I remember one podcast you said your worst nightmare would be Sturgis misses everything and Aguayo makes everything. It's starting to happen now.
Just call me Nostradaniel. You can start with that. No, I mean, it's an end of world situation, John, when the guy you bring in to be your ringer and you give a multi-year contract to is already missing field goals. When the pressure's really not that high, John. I mean, it's in a game, but it's still a preseason game. So to see someone missing something as, you know, just something as regular as a 41-yard field goal. Hey, kickers can miss field goals, but when you're the Chargers kicker, it's always going to be overanalyzed, and you're always going to have a microscope on you, so you might want to get off to a good start. I don't even want to talk about Roberto Aguayo. that stupid guy making all his PATs. I don't want to talk about it, John. So let's move on to something else in special teams. I don't want my predictions to come true. I don't even want to make any more predictions because I'm afraid they'll come true like this has so far. We'll see what happens when Roberto Aguayo gets in there and is kicking the field goals and Sturgis is kicking the extra points. But, John, I know you saw a couple of things just in the special teams coverage, especially on the Chargers' first punt of the game. Drew Kayser maybe outkicked his coverage a little bit, and the Cardinals almost made him pay for it.
Yes, Christian Kirk, the Cardinals wide receiver out of Texas A&M, took the Chargers' first punt almost to the house, but he tripped over himself. But the coverage literally was just not there. There was holes everywhere, and you're literally just looking at this going, here we go again. It's like the season before never ends. Their special teams somehow, some way messes up the game. But when he tripped over himself, you started thinking, okay, maybe someone's like, okay, here, we'll give you a do-over.
Oh, well, I mean, he saw Drew Kayser, and I mean, his mouth was watering. It's like when you see a softball pitch that just looks like a watermelon and you strike out on it. I mean, all he had to do was beat the punter, and he just ate it, which was really funny and good. But, I mean, it was also an over-pursuit by the left side of the Chargers punting team that let him have a wide open lane down the right side of the field from where he was coming from. And just not a good look. Obviously, a lot of new guys in there. But especially, John, when you're talking about undrafted free agents, you can't be messing up like that if that's your way onto the team. But Artavis Scott was the big guy we thought about when we were talking a guy who can make it on special teams. We also talked about Tony Brown, even a guy like DeJuan Hines, who is kind of buried in the depth chart right now behind a lot of players that have more experience than them, I would say. But Artavis Scott had, you know, 3 punt returns for 11 yards. He had 2 kick returns, I should say, and had a long of 39. Had a nice return, John. I thought it was a positive for Artavis Scott in the special teams game.
It definitely was. Scott looked like a guy that we had been hearing about, basically. Everything we've heard about in training camp about a guy who's turning heads, he looked like it in this game. And even in the punt game, I mean, he only had 3 returns, but one of them was for 9 yards. And some people will go, well, that's only a 9-yard return. That's not really great. On a punt return, 9 yards is actually pretty decent because you literally just went almost a whole first down ahead to start the drive. So you went from the 20 to the 30 almost, the 29. That's a big difference in a drive. It's little, but it's big. And when you saw what he did as a wide receiver and you see what he's doing as a kick returner, I don't see Jeremy Davis returning kicks, so I think Scott might be getting a little bit of an edge here to make this roster.
Do you want a good receiver and a good returner, or do you want someone who's just better at receiving? Because at least for this game, that's how the scenario played out, John. But we're going to be seeing a lot more special teams going forward, so there's going to be a lot more to look at. Was there anyone else you wanted to touch on that you saw do well on special teams?
Well, first, I'm going to talk about the punters just because their stats were so even. Drew Kayser had 2 punts for 106 yards, 1 inside the 20 with a long of 57. And then Tripuka had 2 punts, 105 yards, 1 in the 20 and a long of 56. The only difference is 1 yard in total yards and 1 yard in the longest punt. Like, those numbers were really close. And then Jalen Watkins was flying down the field on some of these, even though on one of the punts he flew down there a little bit too fast and got ran around. I want to see more of Tony Brown, though. I didn't get to see much of him. He didn't make many plays, and he's my hopeful to make the team just as a special teams guy.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, John. I think Jalen Watkins, especially when you have a guy like Adrian Phillips, who still, even against a lot lesser talent, didn't really jump off the screen to me in this game defensively. And he's a guy known for his special teams. So you never know if Adrian Phillips' spot is safe. If he, you know, if this guy shows he can play better than him on special teams and is about the same on the field. I don't know, but it's definitely something to look at, and I'm hoping we can see more DeJuan Hines and Tony Brown next week on special teams, and hopefully they get a little bit more of a run because we like those guys a lot. Time to get back to it. Now it's time to talk about the defensive front seven. My favorite, you know, part of the Chargers defense, because that's where I played back when I played football, middle linebacker, and it's just where the Chargers have been weak over the last season, not necessarily their whole front seven, but at least the middle of it. So let's talk about some of the position battles we saw in the front seven. The one we talked about the most in our last podcast and the preview for the game was Kazir White versus Jatavis Brown. And we saw some good stuff out of both of those guys. Kazir White actually led the Chargers in total defensive snaps and had a few good tackles. He looked really fast. It looked like his speed definitely translated onto the field. He got on the field for the Chargers' first goal line stop, or almost stop. He actually started celebrating a little bit and didn't finish the guy on the tackle, which was kind of dumb, but I don't know how that guy stayed on his feet for that score anyways. But Jatavis Brown, for me, the thing I saw was on the first two big runs of the game by David Johnson, he didn't have a quick read and got blocked pretty easily out of the play to make a big hole. And that's the one thing I didn't like. But I thought after that he did a little bit better, actually settled in nicely, and had a pretty good game for him.
Yeah, but the rest of the game was against the lesser players on the Cardinals, because against the first string, he was getting a little bit beat. I'm saying a little bit because I'm trying to be nice, but he was literally blocked right away on most of those plays. He wasn't getting away. It was like watching Manti Te'o almost. But I could also make the case that it was his first game. He was probably a little jittery and he had to settle down. But I need to see how he comes out the next game against the Seahawks starters if they play. And I can only then judge if he's actually just a little bit nervous from his first game or if he's just needs a lot more improvement against the first stringers.
Yeah, and it just doesn't seem like he's super comfortable in the run defense part of the game. He did, though, have a couple nice reads where he reacted quickly, most notably near the goal line when Melvin Ingram got great pressure in the backfield and made the running back bounce it out, and Jatavis Brown was there to clean it up for a tackle for loss. But I think it's still too soon to tell who wins this battle, but I really liked what I saw out of Kazir White. I really saw why they picked him where they did. I think he probably could have gotten picked earlier just from the raw physical skills. I like him as the weak side linebacker. He has great speed, great range. And I thought it was just a really great start to see him actually put it on the field. And the other linebacker kind of battle we were talking about was Kyle Emanuel versus Uchenna Nwosu. And I think we know who won that one so far, John, and that's Nwosu. He was all over the field, had a sack, got involved in a lot of the plays on defense, seemed to be all over the field, and even another play where he didn't get a sack, he was dragging Josh Rosen down by his foot, and he was just able to sling it away for a short gain on third down, but almost was a sack as well. What did you see out of Uchenna Nwosu? Were you as impressed with him as I was? Because I was very happy with what I saw.
I was very happy with what I saw as well, but I saw what I was expecting, because as you remember, in some of our shows, I wanted the Chargers to draft this guy because he can go all over the field. He was literally everywhere. Every time the play was over, you could hear the announcers saying that someone made the tackle, and Nwosu was also there. You would always hear that, or you would hear Nwosu made the tackle. He was literally all over the field. He was always near the ball. And that's what the guy you want. Even if he shows up a little bit late to the tackle, he's still there, which means if that guy broke the tackle, we have a guy there to tackle him, which most NFL players just stand around and they go, okay, they got him. I'm just going to wait right here for the whistle to blow. And then a broken tackle happens, and there goes a 60-yard touchdown. Nwosu is the type of guy we need on this team. He definitely won this battle against Kyle Emanuel. Kyle Emanuel had a couple of decent plays, but he still looked a little bit like the Kyle Emanuel we know that doesn't really make a game-changing play.
Well, and that's the thing about Kyle Emanuel, too, is they drafted him, John, as a guy they thought could rush the passer, and that just has been anything but the case so far in his NFL career. And I think, I mean, you see that when you see him sliding into the Mike linebacker position, standing up off the ball. They're trying to find somewhere else to put him because I think they know that he can't win the strong outside linebacker position. They might be better as a backup Mike linebacker. But even that, I don't know if he would even win that battle, because I think Hayes Pollard, as much as I hate to say it, actually had a pretty good game. I think Hayes Pollard could be a serviceable backup, even though we saw what happened when he was thrust into the starting spot. I think for depth, you could do worse. I think Hayes Pollard plus the interior defensive lineman was a really bad combination to have on the Chargers last year. And speaking of defensive linemen, there's a couple I thought were good in this game. I think the unnoticed guys I want to talk about are Damian Square and Steven Richardson. Steven Richardson's an undrafted guy that no one really wanted to give anything to, but he actually played pretty good on the interior, albeit against backups. But when you're as thin as the Chargers are at defensive tackle or the nose guard, whatever you want to call it, you pay attention to these things, especially when Brandon Mebane, I mean, was getting kind of thrown around at the beginning of the game, John. It was nice to see a couple of lesser known guys step up and have pretty good games. And I think those, I mean, at least Damian Square is definitely a part of the future for this defensive tackle position for the Chargers. And I think defensive end-wise, I really liked what I saw out of Chris Landrum. That was pretty awesome. And also, I mean, just Isaac Rochelle, I thought, had an average game. Was okay, I thought, and didn't really live up to the hype, but has a lot of time.
You took what I was going to say, and that was Brandon Mebane got destroyed. Even before, he was getting double-teamed sometimes, but even before, like, the double-team happened, the first guy to make contact with him was already driving him backwards. And I was so disappointed in the beginning of the game when I saw that, because I was like, okay, let's look at this run defense. We had to have improvement. There's no way we can get worse. And Mebane, right off the bat, is just getting blown up and destroyed and driven backwards. And I was really looking forward to seeing the backups at that point, and Damian Square was really good, in my opinion. I thought he literally showed he deserves to be the starting defensive tackle, in my opinion. That's just me. I know some people are probably going to throw glass through my house for saying that, but I think he deserves to be the starting defensive tackle over Mebane. And despite his four-game suspension for his four-game suspension for PEDs, I think he still deserves to have that spot. And then Steven Richardson looks like a guy that could be a really good quality backup after this game. Not really sure he's consistently good, because sometimes there were plays where I looked at him and I go, he went back to being normal, and then the next play he's good again. It was more of an inconsistent type thing, but I saw more good than bad out of Steven Richardson.
Yeah, and I mean, just especially a guy who's from a tiny school as well, you know, just to be able to show that you can play with these guys at the highest level of football, even though it's backups. I mean, these are still some of the guys in football that are the best in the world. Even the guys that get cut are some of the best in the world at football. I mean, just comparatively, just because they're not NFL. I mean, there's only a handful of guys that really can play at this level. And I think he showed that. And I think Damian Square showed a good anchor. I think when he decided he wasn't going to move, everyone else was going to have to go around him. He set up shop and he made everyone else, he just caused havoc. He just wasn't going to be moved from the spot. And I think Isaac Rochelle, the hard thing with him is it just seems like he's a little bit of a tweener to me. I don't think he can really hold up on the inside, and I don't know if he's quick enough on the outside to really play like a Joey Bosa position. Still a lot of time, but when I saw him on the goal line and in run defense, there was a couple times where he got just, it wasn't that he got pushed out of the way, he just got made the wrong read and picked the wrong side. And that was a little bit concerning, but I liked what I saw out of the Chargers defensive line as a whole. John, the Chargers defense as a whole didn't allow a third down conversion in the entire game. So there was definitely played some good defense. They got really let down by their offense. All right, John. Well, now it's time to jump into the last part of the Chargers defense from the Cardinals game, and that is the secondary. This was another position that I was really excited to look at. I know I've pretty much said that about every position, but I mean, really, really is position battles. I think more than any year I can remember that there's a pretty good position battle at every position group. And I think one of the things that stood out to me, we'll start with safeties, was obviously Derwin James. You wanted to see what you had in him in his first time on the Chargers defense and in the Chargers uniform. I thought he had made some good plays, John. I mean, I don't think it was his best game by any means. But the interesting part to me was that he lined up primarily at strong safety after Jahlil Adai left the game, even though they didn't really play any dime defense, which is probably where we'll see him as a dime linebacker, probably. So, I mean, and that would be with Rayshon Jenkins and Jahlil Adai both still on the field. But that was interesting to me, John, just seeing that's where they put him pretty much on every play.
Yeah, but it's preseason, so they're basically running the most basic thing they can run. And so I don't think it really shows what they plan on doing with him. And so to speak, it's more of just putting guys out there and getting some reps and some game film and seeing what they can and can't do, what they need to work on. Derwin James did show some really good ability at knocking down some passes and being around the ball, kind of like Nwosu was. So from the first game, I'm not going to say I was overwhelmed or overjoyed, if you will, about what I saw, but she was pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, there was one play in particular, a third down passing play where he covered the guy running. I think it was a running back running almost like a wheel route, and he'd had him covered step for step. It was perfect coverage. And I liked what I saw out of him. This is just the tip of the iceberg for him. So there's no point in discussing it too much because it's not as if he's trying to make this roster. He is safely confirmed to make this roster. I'll tell you right now. Breaking news. Derwin James making the roster. But let's move on to, I mean, one of the guys that impressed me, John, I wanted to know what you thought about it, was Michael Davis, a guy that we were very hard on last year because Gus Bradley had a hard-on for him, and we never really saw why he did. We saw just the length of it, you know, of the length. We saw, you know, how tall he was, and we know that Gus Bradley likes that in his defensive backs, but we didn't really see the play on the field. What did you think about Michael Davis in his first game of this preseason?
He surprised me. He played very well. And I'm even more convinced now that he's going to take that next spot on the roster over Craig Mayer and probably over Tony Brown, unless Tony Brown can do something special.
Yeah, I think so too. And speaking of Craig Mayer, it looks like he's still just Craig Mayer, which is not saying very much. Didn't stand out even against the lesser talent that was on the field. And I think his spot remains on the hot seat of people that could get replaced. And one of the guys that could be replacing him, John, is Brandon Faison, who had the lone Chargers interception. Also was only targeted twice in the day and didn't allow a reception. He had a zero passer rating when they were throwing at him. And I don't know, I mean, if you can really do anything besides that. I mean, you can't do anything better than that, at least as far as when the ball is thrown your way. So I liked what I saw out of him. I mean, he was definitely a lesser talked about guy in the position battles. But he's definitely a guy that we're going to keep an eye on going forward because he played the best out of the Chargers corners that played in this game, especially if you listen to a site like Pro Football Focus, who had him as the highest graded corner. John, I mean, what else did you see out of the corners, and what else did you want to talk about just between as far as who's going to make this team?
When I saw Jeff Richards, I saw a guy that was messing up a lot, but he was also making some of the really good plays. There were some times where he was in man-to-man coverage, and he played it really well and knocked the ball away. And then there was times when he was making the stupidest penalty ever or completely missing his guy. I'm really worried that this is that type of guy that makes the roster, kind of like a Craig Mayer made the roster type of guy. It kind of worries me.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I honestly don't think he can make the team, but the Chargers have made puzzling moves in the past. For me at this point, I think it's your starters, Trevor Williams, who didn't play because he's obviously injured, Casey Hayward, then Desmond King, then Michael Davis, who's been on the team, and I think that fifth spot is either going to be Craig Mayer, Brandon Faison, Tony Brown, one of those guys, I would think right now are the most likely to do it, Tony Brown being on the lesser end of it until we see more of him. But those are the guys I've heard at least talked about so far. So I think Jeff Richards would have to, be spectacular if he was to make the team. But like we said, we never know what these guys are going to do. I mean, we never know how the front office is going to react to what they see on the field or overreact to, for that matter. So
we don't need another Greg Watson.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to see anything like that again. But that's going to do it for our defensive Cardinals recap and breakdown from the Chargers' first preseason game. Hey, John, I think we got a lot out of that, more than I definitely thought. I didn't think we could do two shows on a Chargers recap of a preseason game. But there was a lot of action. The game was actually pretty good, and I'm pretty happy with what I saw so far. But that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to be back with you later this week to break down the Chargers game against the Seattle Seahawks in their first home preseason game of the year. So check back in with us later this week. Thanks again for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. You can also follow us each personally, Dan Talk Sports and Biggest Charger Fan, John Kegley, on Twitter. But that's going to do it. Thanks again for listening. Make sure to check out the next episode, and we will talk to you later. Go Bolts.